Want to hear it? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I know some of the kids are not ready for school because it starts next week, but you know, I know parents are ready. So, so let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for being here in your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for having the opportunity and the freedom, Lord God, to come and worship freely, to pronounce your name to all nations, Lord God. I pray today, Lord God, that spirits are open to hear what you have for them, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that hearts will be healed and minds will be cured, Lord God, and people would know what your word says and follow it. In Jesus' name, amen. In case you know, Pastor's not here. All right, he has his little mini vacation at this time of the year all the time, so he's practicing his golf game. Shortly, he'll be teeing off. We thank you that the sun came out for him, and Pastor Tony and Pastor Skip are there also. So we pray for them for a time of relaxation because we're going to start getting into the flow of things, and things start to come up on you real fast, and you need a break. How many people need breaks? All right, we all need a break because it helps us. It recoups us. You know, sometimes when the kids are there all summer long, I remember, and when school started, you were saying, amen, we need a break, you know. Not because you don't love them, because you just needed a break. And then when they get older and they leave home and they go to college, it hurts because you miss them, because you love them so much. Right? Sister Margaret over there is nodding her head because her son's going to college for his first year. So congratulations, by the way. My subject is something God's been putting on my heart for a while, and I've been noticing things around me. By the way, church, would you please pray for the people in Houston and the Texas area and the surrounding areas? The devastation there was unbelievable, so keep them in prayer. But, you know, God is doing something there also because people are coming together no matter what their nationalities are. Houston's a very diverse city. No matter what their nationality, people are helping each other. And they're reaching out, and monies are coming in from everywhere, from all walks of society. God is bringing the people together. So what the enemy might want it for bad, God is turning around for good because the country is coming together to help these people in Houston. So keep them in prayer because it's a long haul, and keep our administrators in prayer that they do the right thing to help the people there in Texas. It's devastating. I can't believe what I see on TV and hear from people that have family there. It's unreal. But God is doing a good work. My subject today is you can move your mountains. You can move your mountains. You know, the word says that God said that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that you can tell this mountain to go from here to there. All right? So I found it fascinating that a mustard seed is about the tip of your pencil. It's so small. But yet it can grow to 20 feet high and 20 feet wide. And it's interesting that the mustard seed, all right, that tree can grow in sandy soil. It can grow in wet soil. It can grow in dry. It can grow in cold temperatures, warm temperatures. It doesn't matter. That tree can grow. And you know what? There's a spiritual application. We're going to talk about that. Because sometimes we're in dry places. Sometimes we're in places where we have no belief whatsoever, all right? In a sandy area where nothing is taking hold, there's no foundation, all right? It has a spiritual application. I never realized that until I looked up the meaning of the mustard seed and what the tree does, and I realized when I looked at those things, I said, oh my gosh, the characteristics of that seed and that tree is spiritual when you look at it the way God wants you to look at it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 17. We're going to be a lot in Matthew, so you don't have to turn that much, all right? Matthew 17, 14, and 21. And I want you to listen to this because I want you to understand what God has for us. Faith was mentioned in the Bible 244 times. So I think God was trying to tell us something. Pay attention, all right? This is important. Faith is extremely important, and we need to believe in order to act, all right? I'm telling you right now that, church, I'm tired of things around me dictating what's going to happen instead of paying attention to God and saying, God said, I already did it, all right? I'm tired of us as a church as a whole, and I'm not condemning anyone here in their faith. What I'm saying to you is God has more, more than what we believe. God has more for us. He says that if you believe, all right, then you can move these mountains. And those mountains are in your life, all right? Those mountains can be anything that are in your life. Those mountains can be your family, something's going on with your family, your children, all right, your job situation, your financial situation, your medical funding, your physical funding, your mental, everything. Those are the mountains. God says you can move those mountains, all right? Those are the things that restrict us from walking in the way God has planned for us. He set a path for us, and he said, believe me, walk this way, all right? And things will change. That's what we're talking about. You can move your mountains. Listen to the word. When it came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive him out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. All right, that's part one of a three-part. My text is actually three scriptures. The next one will be Matthew 13, and the following one will be Matthew 8. And the three of them are the text of what I'm going to be talking about. Remember now, the disciples have been with Jesus, all right? They've walked with him. They've seen him do miraculous things, all kinds of things. And he told them that, you know, if you believe and you have faith, all right, you can do all these things. You can heal people. You can pray for them. They'll be healed, all right? And I know sometimes you think, well, that's far-fetched. How can I pray for someone that's sick and they can be healed, all right? And you're probably thinking, how can I do that? I said, well, we just talked about it, all right? He said he's in us. So when he's in us, we can do all things in him. All right? That's how you can do it, because we have faith. Let me tell you something. I recall specifically that it's not by our power. The first thing you got to realize is Jesus, not you. All right? Take you out of the picture. All right? Take you out of the picture. Put Jesus in there. And when you're hearing his word and listening and hearing his voice, and he tells you to do things, sometimes they're not normal, all right? Anybody do things that are not normal here, all right? I do things that are not normal a lot, all right? And so I pray. When I can't solve a problem, I pray and ask God to show me the problem, okay? Some people think that's not normal. So I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. I said, I can't figure it out, but God knows the problem, so he's going to tell me. And when he tells me, I'll fix it. And I said, hey, it was God, you know? And that happens more times than not, believe me. When I ask God, show me, he shows me. All right, and it's not because I'm something special. It's because I believe. I believe that he has power, and I believe that he has the insight. He knows everything. If he created the heavens and earth and all the stars and all the planets, I'm sure he can figure out this problem that I have. It's very minute for everything else that's going on. There was a specific time where we were having difficulties finding a problem, and they called outsiders in, my friend who was also a pastor. They called outsiders in. They worked 3 days, and they couldn't find a problem. And so I said to my pastor friend, Bob, I said, Bob, let's pray about it and ask God if he can show us what the problem is, and let's go in there and do it. Even though they don't want us to try to fix it, they paid somebody else twice as much as we got paid, all right, and they couldn't figure out the problem. So we prayed, and we went there, and we found the problem in 3 hours. They spent 3 days, all right, and we gave glory to God, all right, and that's what God can do. I seen it happen in front of me. I seen God tell me to pray for someone, all right, in Mexico that I didn't know was having a problem at all. All I just said was, I want you to pray for her and pray for her hand. And I said, Lord, but what happens if there's nothing wrong with her hand? He says, that's doubt. See, that's doubt. And it's important that you hear this, because that's exactly what the disciples did. They had doubt. When they prayed for that young boy, there was doubt in their minds and in their hearts. That's why he wasn't healed. All right? That's why there's doubt. He asked me to pray for her, so I seen her in the far corner of the top floor of the hotel walking and praying, and I called her over, and I said, Sister, we need to pray for your hand. God told me to pray for your hand. I don't know what it is, but he asked me to pray for you. And after I prayed, she shared her testimony. She wasn't going to come. She cuts hair. She wasn't going to come because she says, I'm going to be useless. I'm not going to be able to do anything. I can't cut hair. What am I going to do? I'm not physically fit to do all the other things that they do, and this is what I came for. But the Lord spoke to her and said, come anyways. Even though you think you can't cut hair, cut anyways. And when I prayed for her hand, she had such bad arthritis she couldn't hold her scissors to cut hair. Not good when you're cutting hair, right? It doesn't matter for me, but it matters for you, all right? So when we prayed for her, and there was a group of us, a whole bunch of us just prayed for her. Her hands opened up, and she was able to cut hair all week. And she was able to tell her family, who said, you're a fool for going there. They were bemoaning her and saying, You can't go. What are you going to do? You're going to be useless. You can't cut hair. What are you going to do there, Mom? You can't come. She said her children would tell her, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. But she cut hair, and she couldn't wait to get back home and tell them, this is what God did while I was there. Because she listened to him when he said, go. All right? That's important to you understand, because here the disciples had doubt in their heart. And Jesus was upset because, think about it. You know, Jesus is upset here, by the way. He gets upset, all right? He was upset because they didn't believe. I mean, they're walking right next to Jesus. He's seeing people being raised from the dead, Lazarus. You've seen people healed. You've seen blind people healed, their sight restored. And they simple prayer, and they can't even do that. So he's frustrated with them because he says, you of little faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. See, that's where the mustard seed comes into play. All right, you can move mountains. That little thing grows into something big and powerful. All right, that the birds of the air form their nest in there. All right, it's a powerful word. That mustard seed might be small, and you might think that you're insignificant in the world's eye, but in God's eye, you're that mustard seed. All right, you can grow into something outstanding and do outstanding works in His name. Now let's look at Matthew 13, verses 31 to 32. He told them a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. All right. And now let's look at Matthew 8. Verses 5 to 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done as you believed it would. All right, now we think about this. This is a Roman centurion in charge of numerous men, a great amount of men, all right, with authority and power. All right. It's so interesting that it took someone that was a Gentile, all right, to understand the meaning of faith and understand Jesus' power. All right. That he said, look, I am not even worthy for you to walk into my home. I don't even deserve that. All you need to do is say the word and he's going to be healed. We know that. I know that. That's faith. And that's faith. That's such a beautiful picture of faith. All right. And you know what? Faith is believing in things that are unseen. All right. How many times we believe for things that we can't see? You know, sometimes we can't even feel. All right. We ask for God for things that are down the road that might not happen for years. You might not even see it in your lifetime. But you pray for those things and you have faith for our family members that we want saved. How many people have family members that are They're praying for them faithfully so they can be saved, all right? I have a bunch of them. In fact, that's where my wife is now. She's ministering to some of our family right now because she believes that God has a word for her to share with some of her family, all right? And I said, Nancy, go. You need to go. Take this time and do that because that's what God wants you to do, all right? You got to walk in what he wants you to do. Faith is an action verb. It's not stand still. It doesn't stand still. Faith is not just standing there and praying and coming to church and sitting down and listening to the word and then going home and doing the same thing over and over. Faith requires you to do what Killian just did up here, all right? Playing his air guitar, all right? That's, you know what? Childlike faith. Childlike faith. That's what we need to have. Because you know what? As little children, we believe everything. When we talk about you believe your parents are going to be there 100% of the time, you trust them. You believe them, right? When you're small, you start. When you get older, you start having doubts, all right? And that's when things happen, okay? But, you know, childlike faith, all right? Some people might not like that he was doing that. I thought it was pretty awesome. It was a very beautiful picture to me that, you know, oh, this is on target because there he is playing the air guitar. It sounded pretty good, too, you know? He had the moves, you know, jumping up and down. Praise God for that childlike faith. Not afraid, not embarrassed. Well, we need some of that, don't we? Not afraid and not embarrassed because we're afraid to say Jesus where we work. We're afraid to say Jesus anywhere. You're afraid to say, oh, you know, God bless you. You're going to say something else because you're afraid you're going to offend somebody. So what? You know, when people say that to me, I turn around and say, no, and God bless you. And they say, why do you say God? Because God is more important than anything else. Right? God is the truth, the life. That's what we need to believe. You know, when you think about faith and you think about the definition of faith, God is so cool because he gives us perfect vision on what faith really is. He gives us an understanding and he makes it so clear to us that we can't help but understand what it is. In Hebrews chapter 11, he tells us exactly what faith is. We have that up there? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Right, look at that. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Right, so you see, faith is not just standing there. Faith is a verb. You must believe. Believe takes action. All right, believe means that you move. Right, believing doesn't mean you stand still. It means that you stand up and you go. All right, when the centurion says, when I tell one of my men to go, he goes. If I tell him to come, he comes. All right, so when God says go, guess what we do? We go. And when he says come, we come. When he's offering you a way out, all right, God says come to my altar. All right, come. And let me minister to you. And let me show you and heal you and repair your spirit so that you can be renewed. And then when you go out there, you go out with energy. All right, you don't go out there like, I really get tired when I see Christians with their heads down all the time. And I know that we go through things, and I do the same thing. You know, sometimes we just have our heads down, not realizing and not understanding that it's already won. When you have that in your head, and you understand that he already won the victory, all right, it's already done, and that you can walk in victory. You can walk in victory, all right? You know that you're running, and then start walking, it's going to change the way you look at things. When you see things around you that are not good, all right, you know that that's not God. That's not what God has for us, All right. His plan for us is for us to prosper. All right. He doesn't want us to be sad. You know, of course, there's situations where we lose loved ones. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about our daily lives when things happen and we don't overcome them because we have so little faith. I do the same thing as well. Sometimes I just don't know how it's going to happen. I said, Lord, how is this going to happen? I'm kind of in a bad place here. How is this all going to work? You know, and God just miraculously does things and he just opens my eyes and said, see, all you need to do is believe and trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me and I'll take care of everything. And sometimes it's hard to do, but when you're able to do it, when you're finally able to do it and let those things come off your shoulder and give them to the Lord and start walking in faith like he wants us to, things are going to happen. Miracles are going to happen. All right? Things are going to change. Situations are going to change. Families are going to change. Financial situations will change. Healing takes place because we believe in him. You know, they when I was looking this up and just studying it, they give an example of a chair. If I was to put a chair here, I was going to put a chair here, but then I might want to sit on it because I work till 3 in the morning. So I said, I better not do that because I don't want to fall asleep here. But give an example of a chair. All right, you believe that you can sit in that chair, right? If you look at one of these chairs, you believe that you can sit in those benches, right? You believe that, you know, they're going to hold you. They're not going to fall apart, all right? And so that's the trust issue. So that's believe and trust. So you think about a chair and apply it to faith. Believe that you can do it and then take action. Sit in it and walk in it, all right? That's the same principle we're using here, that you need to believe and you need to trust God. That's really the definition of faith, all right? Trust and belief, all right? In order to do that, you have to do those things. And we talked about belief here. You heard it. You probably heard it 2 or 3 times. And then Wednesday, in prayer meeting, Pastor was almost saying my message over here. And then Pastor Tony was saying the message. And Sister Nancy was saying the message. It's like, oh, my gosh, everybody heard it. They already heard it before I even said it. Matthew 10, verse 1. It's good when you're on the same spirit. I love it because I keep hearing the same thing over and I keep hearing what God is showing me right back to me because God is speaking. Chapter 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You say every? Anyway, you know what? We have that same power. Amen. And we have that same authority if you believe. All right, you can take care of everything. You can pray the enemy out of everywhere and anywhere if you believe in and walking in the way God told you to walk. All right, it takes belief. And see how that word belief is so powerful? It's not just sitting there. Like I said, it's walking it out. Acts 3, verses 1-10. Are you guys with me? Yes. Nobody's falling asleep, are they? I might challenge you a little bit. I want to challenge you. I'm challenging myself. I always challenge myself first. I look in the mirror and challenge myself first. And then I want to challenge you. Because I want to challenge you with God's word. Not with my word, but God's word. Right? That's what he says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what God is saying. All right? And he overrules everything. All right? So listen to what it happens here in Acts. I love the book of Acts, right? Because it's about doing things, right? Acting things out and doing what God has called them to do. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Interesting that he's crippled and he's at the gate Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. You see, now Peter, these are the same guys that prayed for the guy, for the son that was possessed by the demon spirits. Now, there's a difference in them, isn't there? Now they have faith and they believe. They've seen what God does, and now they have faith. And they said, listen, when you look, I have nothing. I have nothing, but Jesus does. So we're going to pray for you in his name. And he got up and walked. Can you imagine being there? This guy was like this from birth. All right? Can you imagine seeing that happen right before your eyes? All right? It'll be no wonder he's jumping and screaming. He was doing what Killian was doing up here. You know, he was jumping and screaming, probably playing his air flute, whatever he was playing. You know, he was screaming, letting everybody know what God had done for him. All right? That's how we need to be. You know, that's childlike faith. I love it. It's awesome. And Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. Did I get the right one? I'm sorry. I got the wrong one there. No, that's right. That's what was happening this morning. Jesus. That day came, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind them, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was so nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" When storms come, when distractions come, that's when we have our doubts. Just like the disciples, they're not no different than we are, all right? They did the same mistakes that we do, all right? And we're still doing today. When storms come, instead of going to God, we get scared and we doubt what the power that he has for us. We start doing things in our own power instead of waiting on God, all right? And there's some large storms that can come in our lives, all right? Things sometimes happen that can overtake us, all right? And I learned through experience, after failure, after failure, after failure, trying to do things in my own power, that if I just take time to pray and ask God for direction and ask him, "What do you need me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do in this situation?" And he answers me, and things are taken care of, that it seems so miraculous to me, but in God it was so simple, all right? Just take the time to call on his name and ask God for his direction. When storms come, when distractions come, don't let doubt overtake you. Immediately go to the throne and ask Jesus for help. Immediately, don't waste time. Don't think about it. Just do it. Pray and ask God, "I need you." Anybody ever do that? "I need you, God. I need you. I need you. I need you here for what's going on in my body. I need you here what's going on in my family. I need you going what's going on in my home or my friends. The sickness that I see, I need you." And guess what? He comes. When you call on him, he hears you. All right? If we can learn to do that. All right? The disciples were afraid. And Jesus, the Son of God, is sleeping. If Jesus is sleeping, you know what that means? Everything's cool. Everything's cool. You don't have to worry about anything. He's sleeping. Everything's fine. You don't have to worry about a thing. But they didn't realize that. See, that simple act of sleeping portrays a huge thing there. Everything's at peace. No matter what's around us, God is right there with us. All right? And they were so afraid when they seen a storm rage. And, you know, it can be frightening and be in the middle of a storm. It can be scary. I'm sure the people in Houston, you know, were scared and seeing all the devastation. But I know that was the body of Christ in Houston and the surrounding areas. They came together and started praying. They started praying that people would come together in unity and helping each other out. All right, they looked at the storm for an opportunity to do what God wants them to do and serve the Lord and show his love and kindness to everyone. Think about that. That's pretty cool, especially today and today's political heated rivalries and everybody pointing fingers at everybody else and nobody doing anything, all right? Instead of doing what's right before God's eyes, you know, if they would seek the Lord first, all this stuff wouldn't happen. There'll be solutions for all of our problems. God is so good. We're back to Matthew, chapter 8. There's so much power in this word. It's amazing. And Jesus got into the boat, and the disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up in the lake, another storm, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up and said, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, "You have little faith. A little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. And they were amazed. All right, think about that same, that's the same one that was in Mark before, the same storm. But the next storm that came, when Jesus walked out to the waters, to the boat, when they were fishing, he said, "I want to go on the other side," and he walked on the water. All right, can you imagine seeing that? I think it would be so cool, you know, seeing him walk on water. Oh, wow, I want to do that, you know, walk on water. And he asked Peter to come out. And Peter said, "Come out." And he comes out, he walks on the water, and he starts to sink a little bit. He started to doubt. And that's when he lost his faith, and he started to sink. And Jesus right there. You know, he just walked on the water, and he just told you to come out. So what does that mean? You don't have nothing to worry about, all right? I'm asking you to come to me, all right? Come to me. Have no doubt. You can do this. Walk in the water. As soon as doubt came, he started to sink. That happens all the time in our lives. Doubt comes in, and we start to sink. We don't believe in God. We don't believe in his power because we start believing in situations and circumstances. They start overtaking us, all right? That's what happens in our daily lives. Situations, circumstances overtake us because we have doubt. We're not believing. We're not acting in the strength that God has given us and the power that he said he gave us. He said he's given us power to heal. He's given us power to overcome. He's given us power to survive. Right? That's a lot. Think about it. You have the power. Just think about what you can do if you start walking in that faith. All right? Think about it. Just think about what you can do. What can change. Your home can change. Your marital status can change. If you're having troubles in your marriage, your children, their attitudes can change. All right? Your workplace, people's attitudes start changing because they're seeing something powerful in you. And you know what? Nothing the enemy does when you're walking in that faith can distract you because your eyes are focused on him, the one who died for you, the one who gave his life for each and every one of us, all right? That's the power that we have. That's the power that God has given us. That's the power he wants us to use. So we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid when the storms come and God asks us to walk on the water, all right? It's a beautiful picture of God's power and his strength. It's also a beautiful example of what happens when we believe. Matthew 21:18-21 says, "Have faith and don't doubt, believe." Matthew 14:22-33 says, "Peter walks on the water." You know, he had some faith and then he lost it. He doubted. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is what he was created for. Listen. This is what God has for us. Let's start with verse 8. "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by anything that you do, or I do, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance." All right? This is what God's, that's why we're created. All right? Oh my gosh, I love that, because he said, you know, he's going to tell us what to do in advance. You know, what we're supposed to be doing in advance. When we believe and have the faith that God has given us, We can do all these things through Christ. All right? And it's not about us. Like I said at the beginning, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus in us. All right? And when we start boasting about what we're doing, then we're doing the wrong thing. We need to point everyone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all things that you do, make sure that he's the one that you acknowledge first. Right? That's the one you want to acknowledge, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When you start doing that, it changes you inside. You start to see what God can really do and how he works. And sometimes it takes a long time to see something that you've been praying for and something that you have faith God's going to do. But God gives you peace. He spoke a word to me, probably it's going on 21 years ago. When my son was 16, my older son, he's 30, going to be 37, September 28th. So 21 years ago, God spoke to me and said, here's what I want you to do. It was a difficult time, teenagers. Anybody have teenagers, by the way? Right. There's difficult times with teenagers, and believe me, it's no different for pastors. All right, we have problems with our teenagers too. All right, because boys will be boys, right? And they're going to do things that you don't agree with, and things happen. It's life. You learn and you grow from it, but it also is an opportunity for God to grow in you and teach you. All right, he spoke to me a word. It was a situation we were having with our son. My son is 6'4", about 230 now. He'll probably play linebacker. Big, he was big back then. And it was just a situation where it was not a good situation. And I instead of doing what I normally do, reacting, because believe it or not, I have a very bad temper. And God has taken that away from me and shown me how to control it, all right, and how to just like, do other things so that the anger doesn't come out first. So instead of reacting, I went into my room and I started praying. And God started opening up, showing me things that my son was doing and he didn't tell me. And so I started praying and the Lord said, I want you to be calm and I want you to do this for me. And I said, okay, what do you want? And he said, I want you to be an example what a man should be like, what a husband should be like, and what a father should be like. And I want you to love above all situations and all circumstances. I said, how am I going to do that? And he said, just believe in me. Just believe. Trust me. Trust me on this one. Remember, faith is trust and believe. Trust me. I said, okay. As soon as I said okay, all the pressure and all the worries rolled off. The situation was still there, but on me, everything just rolled off. And as I began to, when I went to talk to my son, he said, Dad, I want to apologize. And he started telling me all the things he was doing that God showed me by himself. All right? That's pretty cool. All right? And God has shown me that, you know what? Don't worry about what you see and what you hear, all right? Because I'm going to change this situation. All right? God is changing things in my sons. All right? And I'm praying that they have Jesus in their heart. They know about the Lord, but they're not following him. They're not walking the walk, all right? And he showed me that just do what I tell you to do. Trust me, and I will make things happen. And I'm seeing things change right now in my kids because, you know what? I'm not reacting anymore. I'm going right to God. I'm going right to God. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. I just don't have the strength or the power or the energy, and I don't know how to. Right, without getting angry and doing things contrary to your word. I want your help. All right, and as soon as I do that, things start to happen. It's so, you guys might think that there's something wrong with this guy. He thinks that, you know, God solves everything. He does. I can guarantee you that he does. He solves every situation all the time. Maybe not in the time frame we like to be in, because we got to be patient. He's teaching us to be patient, but he does. He does, and it's just about trusting and believe. Trusting and believe. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Are you guys getting this? For For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of God, the faith of God has given you. And that kind of puts everything into perspective, all right? Just because you can do things in God, don't put yourself above everyone else, all right? You know, if you see someone in need, don't think that you're better than they are because you don't have that need, all right? You need to stand with your brothers and sisters and pray with them, all right? And help them with their faith, build up their faith, edify it and build them up by the word of God, all right? See, when you have the faith and someone doesn't, all right, that's an opportunity for you to help them. It's an opportunity for you to share what God has done in your life and use the testimonies that God has brought in your life to help build someone else. Because you know, your job is to minister. He called us. He said, go ye to all nations. He's speaking to us too. It wasn't just for the disciples. He's telling us too. So go ye to your neighborhood, to your schools, to your workplace, all right, to your friends, to your families, and tell them about Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. You know what? What are they going to say? I don't want to hear it. That doesn't hurt. You know, you just keep praying for them. You'll be surprised what happens when you start telling people about God and what he's done in your life, and you start pointing them to Christ. You'll be surprised how people, all of a sudden, they start coming back to you and said, can you pray for me? And the same person has said he doesn't believe. Can you pray for me? And one person said to me once, it was kind of funny, but he said, you have an inside track to God. I said, I do? He goes, yeah. He goes, things happen when you pray. I said, no, you have the same abilities. You can do the same thing. All you have to do is believe and pray. You have the same thing. I'm no different than you are. You know, I came from the same place you did. You know, I know what it was to doubt. I understand what it is to have unbelief. All right, I'm no better than you are. But I know one thing though. He's in me. So once he's in me, I have his power. So when we pray in his name, and he does the work. The Spirit comes and does the work, and I can walk away because I know it's being taken care of. I said, so it was kind of interesting that he thought that I had an inside track, all right? Like I had a special phone number dialed. God, I said, Jesus, hi. This guy here, he needs this done. We'll take care of it. Guess what? You guys all have the same ability, every one of you. Every one of you have that ability, all right? We all have an inside track, and because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, that's why we have it. Think about that. That's powerful. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Interesting. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So where are you going to get this faith? Where are you going to get this faith that's going to move the mountains in your life? Where are you going to get the strength, the power that you need to move those mountains? All right, to move those areas in your life that are restricting you, holding you back from what God has for you, what he wants for you, the 100% power that he has for you, all right, holding you back so that you're no longer just a Christian sitting in the pew, but you're a Christian that's acting out what God has told you to do, that this church becomes vibrant, that we start to act like Killian up here, dancing and shouting, because, you know, that childlike faith is so real in him. It's so real in that little boy, all right? He knows. If you talk to him right now, you think you're talking to somebody a lot older than that, all right? As he shares his God's love. He loves Jesus. I've seen him in action. I mean, the kid is amazing. But we need that kind of faith. And a faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. Can move mountains. Your mountains, my mountains. And we all have them. All it takes is action on our part. Believe and then trust. Believe and trust in God. And he will do it. And let me tell you something. When you guys leave here today, I want you to try practicing that. Just believing God and trusting him at his word. You know what? God has so many promises in his Bible, and not one of them has ever been broken. Not one. Not one. So we tend to put all our trust in situations and people, places and things, All right? That's what we put our trust in most of the time. We trust what other people say instead of trusting what God says. We trust in situations and money that's going to solve our problems. Sometimes we say, if I only had this amount of money, I can take care of every problem that I have. No, you're just going to add to it. Because the money is not the problem, all right? Something else is the root of it, all right? Money is just one of the things that happens, one of the attributes of it, right? That's what we do, all right? We listen to everything else. We listen to the media. We listen to our friends that don't know God, and we take their advice. And then we expect to be happy, and we expect that things will work out, you know? And sometimes the enemy makes it look like it's going to work. It's going to work. And you try something. Oh, just do this. And it seems to work for a time, but guess what? In the long run, you lose. You go backwards, right? So we can't be trusting people that don't know the Lord. You need to put your faith in God. Put your trust in God. In 1991, I was in a youth trip to Lakeland, Pennsylvania. We were in a college. And we had a retreat for a weekend. It was a lot of fun. It was a long drive. You ever drive to Pennsylvania? It was foggy and a lot of hills. You can't even see the other side of the road. And you need faith to drive in Pennsylvania in those times, at nighttime in the fog and everything. And when we got there, they were playing some songs. And I was one that never used to get up and dance and never used to raise my hand. I never did that, right? And here I am. I'm a youth leader. And my kids are up there jumping and dancing, and I'm sitting there doing nothing. And the song came on, first time I heard it, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And that song came on, it ministered to me. Next thing you know, Nancy's looking for me. I'm up there jumping with the kids. And I'm up there raising my hands. And God just ministered to me. I'm dancing away. And I just let it go. And I felt like, I felt so good. And I felt like everything just came off me. And I understood what it means to worship the Lord that way, to dance and jump and rejoice, all right, and just let it out. And, you know, I don't care what people thought. And then from that day forward, I felt, you know what? I used to think people were crazy that did that. So I'm one of them. So it's okay if you call me crazy. I like doing that because God released me from my fear, all right? And once I trusted him, he showed me that this is just a form of worship, all right? And it's okay. It's okay to act crazy. It's okay to play your air guitar up here if that's what you want to do for the Lord. That's okay, all right? Faith is trusting and believing. Faith is small as a mustard seed. If you have that faith, that tiny, tiny little seed, you can move your mountains. Listen to this song.
And cleanse every part of me.
Amen. You know what I see? I see Jesus reaching out his hand like he did to Peter. And he said, if you just have faith and trust in me, you can walk on water. All right? And he's reaching his hand out to you right now. So I want the worship team to come up. And ushers will be coming up and giving our tithes and offering. And when the worship team is playing their song, if you feel that you can feel God reaching out to you, don't be afraid to come up here and ask God to minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you, because he knows everything, all right? And he's gonna minister to your spirit right to the heart of the matter, okay? And let's pray for the offering. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the blessing and the honor to be able to give our tithes and offering. Bless those that give and bless those that are unable to give at this time, Father. Father, we bring these gifts to the storehouse, Lord God.